For today's scripture, I'm going to invite you actually to join me in speaking the words of trust and faithfulness that we find in Psalm 46. Would you join me in the words on the screen? God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The church father Athanasius said this of the Psalms back in the 4th century. "It is my view that in the words of this book, the whole human life is comprehended and contained. Nothing to be found in human life is omitted." Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote this: "The Psalms occupy a unique place in the Holy Scriptures. It is God's word and, with a few exceptions, the prayer of men and women as well." In other words, the Psalms help us to pray with words that apply to literally every situation we'll face. They give us words when we don't have them. They are honest and also hopeful. They invite us to be vulnerable and also resilient. They zoom in on very specific human experiences. And then they zoom out to God's cosmic faithfulness in history. They invite us to engage life more deeply. And Psalm 46 does all of this, so much so that it has much to say to this moment that we are in. Psalm 46 is the first of what have been called the Songs of Zion. It is a hymn that centers hope in Jerusalem, or more specifically, the hope of God's presence in Jerusalem. The fact that God, the God of the universe, in fact, is also present and active and trustworthy as one who dwells among us. This psalm, Psalm 46, is the biblical text for one of the most well-known hymns, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," which was written by Martin Luther. Both the psalm and the hymn celebrate the confidence the people of God have, even in times of crisis and disruption, all because God has chosen to be with us. The psalm points to Jerusalem as the symbol of this hope. Luther points to Christ as the ultimate ground of that same hope, Emmanuel, God with us. And just as Jesus came into a less than perfect world to reveal God's presence, the psalm presents a less than perfect world as well. In fact, it offers up what we might call the worst case scenario. Even if the earth gives way and the mountains totter and fall into the sea, the mountains, which they would have understood to be the foundation of the world, the mountains in all their stability and strength, if they fell, that would be an ultimate threat. Luther, back to the hymn, wrote of circumstances that would threaten to undo us. We know something of circumstances that threaten to undo us, don't we? Maybe you know what it is like to be afraid in this existential way. Psalm 46 presents a worst-case scenario, not so much of personal loss or grief, but more like the end of the world as we know it, a cosmic cataclysm or a collective disaster. And it does so to make a point. To put it bluntly, even the ultimate threat, the end of the world, would not be a reason to lose trust in God. No, God's presence in the world is the ground of confidence and unshakable foundation of our trust. Even if the waters and the nations roar, God is secure. The Lord of hosts is with us. God is our refuge and strength. The God of Jacob is our fortress. These are repeated again and again. And those specific names of God in Psalm 46 each have significant and distinct meaning for us now. The title Lord of Hosts literally means Lord of armies. The image is of God commanding legions of angels. It is the same idea used by Jesus when he is being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26 records how in that moment of arrest, one of the companions of Jesus draws a sword and cuts off the ear of the servant of the high priest. But what does Jesus say? Put away your sword, put it back in its place. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. And then this, do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Jesus is saying, don't you know that my Father could, at a word, send his armies of angels to settle this? The question is not one of God's power or ability, and there is no need to take matters into our own hands. Psalm 46 makes the same point. God could speak a word and the earth would melt. The other title, God of Jacob, reminds us of God's long faithfulness and patience to Israel from the time of our ancestors onward. The Lord has been with us. God has been faithful through history. God has been present in the story. And not only has God been with us, but God has been for us. God has led the people through their history so that it has intentionality and purpose. God has provided for them and has proved to be help in trouble. This refrain is throughout the scriptures. For this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even to the end, Psalm 48:14, or Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Or from Isaiah 63:7, I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. This long-term perspective is hard to maintain in times of crisis, and that's why the psalm calls us to remember the God of Jacob. And because of all of this, then God is our refuge, our strength, our ever-present help in time of trouble. The result is, the psalmist says, we will not fear. This is all the language of trust. Maybe you've never thought of it this way, but our prayers are a means of taking refuge in God's faithfulness. We don't literally run to God, but spiritually, that's exactly what we do. Prayer and worship are intentional acts of running to God and finding help. The result, the act of taking refuge, leads to the experience of calm assurance. Our faith makes us unafraid. Now, of course, we might remain concerned or cautious or aware in times like these, but those of us who find refuge in God respond to those dangers from a place of trust, from a place of peace. Psalm 46 even gets specific about what those dangers are. There are two kinds, and both of these ring with contemporary relevance. One is natural. The other is political. Hear what I mean. First, the psalm speaks of natural realities. It speaks of the sea, which symbolizes the chaos of this world and the unpredictability of life on this planet. The creation has many threats, from disease to disaster. In the ancient worldview, God had established the land on the sea. He had pushed back those seas and controlled the chaos. And the dry land created the possibility for life. So in their worldview, earthquakes and volcanoes and floods and droughts were signs that chaos is never far away. Those chaotic seas are always lapping continually at what is stable and secure. But still, the psalmist reminds us, God's creative, stabilizing, renewing forces are more powerful, still more powerful than the forces of chaos. God is stronger than the seas. No matter how chaotic natural events may be, this is still God's good creation. The other type of danger is not of the natural kind. It is more man-made. The nations here represent the danger that comes with dealing with people, groups of people, geopolitical realities, wars, and discord. And of the two dangers, natural and man-made, this seems to be an even greater concern. The nations begin to mimic all of those natural disasters. The nations and kingdoms and all their raging create instability and chaos. The mountains can totter, and so can kingdoms. The seas can roar, and so can the nations. All of this sums up how unpredictable the world can be because of people. But these are not words of despair, but words of hope. The description of how bad things can be is all to set us up, to help us see and remember and then claim how faithful and trustworthy God is. It's a shift of perspective. Where does our confidence and trust lie? Well, one answer is the end of war. God is the one who brings war to an end, who shatters the spear, breaks the bow, burns the shield. We are the ones who keep making war and inflicting violence. God is just as relentless in undoing our violence. In this way, Psalm 46 is decidedly anti-violence. It calls into question any easy alliance we have with war and with the powers that make it. Trust in God translates to giving up the need to control situations and people. Trust in God means acting out of a place of peace and calm rather than frustration and irritation. We don't have to control history, God will. We don't have to provide for ourselves, God has provided enough for everyone. We don't have to over-function in response to God's under-functioning. God is functioning just fine. Faith in God means acting on our trust in times of crisis. Psalm also helps remind us that though it may seem like political forces are the most powerful forces and that we should give our ultimate concern for good or for bad to man-made kingdoms, the psalm reminds us that this is an illusion, that God is the one who is over all nations, and our ultimate allegiance must be put into this greater trust, into the energy of trusting in him. God's kingdom doesn't align with our kingdoms and isn't dependent on their success or failure. God's kingdom will always subject human kingdoms to critique, to submission, and to their subordinate place. Trust, instead, the psalm says, is in Zion, or the city of God. But this is not meant to be literally the specific place in Jerusalem where God would quote unquote live. There is a river that makes glad the city of God, the psalmist says. And so God is inviting us to put our trust not in a place, but in his presence here again. Our trust is not in human kingdoms, but in a heavenly one, and in a God who dwells with people in time and space. That river that makes glad the city of God doesn't literally exist. Students of geography will know that there's not an actual river in Jerusalem. The place itself isn't the point. Instead, our trust is in a God who has presence in that place. In fact, in God's commitment to be present in every place, God's engagement with this earth. For Christians, this is not a place specifically, but in every specific place, not so much a place, but a person. Martin Luther, again, describes our confidence in Christ. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right one by our side, the one of God's own choosing. You ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is he, Lord of angel armies, his name, from age to age the same, and he will overcome all evil. The psalm affirms that the strength behind the universe is not simply a neutral power. God is not only with us, God is also for us. And there is a river that makes glad the city of God. Those forces of chaos have no bearing on the tranquility that comes with God's kingdom. God is for us and is our refuge and our strength. The Hebrew literally says, God is for us, our refuge and strength. So what do we do with all of this trust? How do we respond when the worst thing happens, when we feel like we're living out the worst case scenario, and yet we try to remember that God is still God? How does lived trust look? What does it look like in the worst case scenario? Well, in the psalm, that is the most important part. Psalm 46 ends with clear instructions of what to do with all of this information that has just been downloaded to us. And it comes as a command. Be still and know that I am God. Now, out of context, those words sound really comforting, don't they? Even on their own, they sound like an invitation to something that we're looking for. But we've also sometimes translated those words or heard them to sound like a gentle suggestion to sit quietly, to pray. It can sound like nice advice, to just take a deep breath, to relax, a sort of nice but optional invitation to calm down if we get around to it when we get done freaking out. But be still and know is less a nice invitation and more a decisive command. To those who are frantic and hectic and anxious, trying to regain control, God says, stop, be still. Now, that brings up a memory for me. One of my first grade teachers used this particular phrase as sort of her catchphrase. You can imagine first graders running around sort of chaotically. She's trying to keep control of the classroom. And when things got a little bit out of hand, this is what she would always say, be still, be still. And we knew that if we didn't, we were in trouble. Andy Stanley has suggested that if aliens came to Earth and landed in the United States, they might assume that if we stopped for too long, if we stopped moving for very long, that we might die. What does this say about us? What does it say about our tendency to overfunction in times of crisis? What does it say for those of us who need a reminder and even a command to stop in this moment, to be still? To be still and know is a command and a critique to our frantic, overfunctioning, overanalyzing, overcommentating culture. To those of us who think we can solve the world's problems and fix each other through power and control, God says, stop, quit it, cease and desist, surrender, be still. And so as we end our time today, I just invite you to some reflection, to think about how this psalm applies to us and to you. First, I'd invite you to think about what your quote unquote worst case scenario is. And remember, this isn't a personal tragedy in Psalm 46, so much as it is an understanding or even a vague sense that the sky is falling, that the world as we know it is ending, something that we probably all have behind most of our actions and thoughts these days. In times of crisis, in times of unrest, as we think about this as our worst case scenario, and maybe the fears that have been behind that for you, may we also hear from the psalm an invitation to trust. Another question is, what are specific ways you are overfunctioning? Ways that you're scrapping for control? Now, if you're brave, you might ask the people around you questions like, what's it like to be with me right now? It might be more than you want to know. You might have to have courage and create a safe place, a time of prayer and silence, so that you can let God show you ways that you might be over-functioning and scrapping for control right now. And if you do, I pray that you will hear that as an invitation to something else, to be still, to stop, and to trust. Finally, what habits and practices help you take refuge in God? What reminds you that God is trustworthy? What specific ways, actions, habits do you need now and probably needed all along, but specifically now maybe has been revealed to you that the old ways of sort of being reminded of God's goodness aren't enough? What habits and practices help you take refuge in God, run to God, and find peace in Him? Remind you that God is trustworthy, that the God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the invitation in this moment to be still and to know that He is God. Amen.
Be still and know that I am with you. Be still and know that I am here. Be still and know that I am with you. Be still and know. When darkness comes upon you and covers you with fear and shame, be still and know that I am with you, and I will say your name. If terror falls upon your bed and sleep no longer comes, remember all the words I said. Be still and know. And when you go through the valley and the shadow comes down from the hill, if morning and know.